disgraced woman is a community of young women who prioritize God's leading in every aspect of their lives. In this podcast, we share our stories, the good and not so great part of it, as we learn to trust God wholly, obey Him fully, and be God's vessels of honor in our generation. Every episode is filled with real-life lessons and experiences that would leave you longing for a deeper and more intimate walk with God. I'm your host, Grace Oriagan, and welcome to the Graced Woman Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Graced Woman Podcast. We have been chatting for over an hour with our amazing guest of today, actually the first guest on this show ever. And it's such a honor for the first guest to be you. So if you've been following the podcast, you know that we've been having a conversation on seasons, different seasons of life. And today we're going to be going on with our conversation. And first of all, disclaimer, our guest is a mother of three children. So if you hear any noise, take it like that. Okay? Thank you. So I'll try to introduce you briefly, but I'll allow you to introduce yourself. So I've known Oyin, her name is Oyin Bernard, by the way. I've known her for close to 7 years. And we've grown from business friends to sisters to business strategy partners to prayer partners to mothers and so much more. Like, we've literally gone through different seasons of life together, and it's such a honor and privilege to have her join us today. So just briefly introduce yourself, tell us about you, what you do, all those amazing stuff.
Thank you so much for having me, babe. I still need to tell my name. My name is Oyin Bernard. I'm a proud mom of triplets.
Tell them. You know? It's not easy.
I run a beauty business. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it.
That's not pretty much it, but let's just start. Let's just stop there. Because if we start, we'll not finish today. So, if you're to describe the season of life that you are now, What would you describe it as?
That's interesting, because I think saying it now, I can recognize that just as we have seasons in nature, I think we do have seasons in life as well. I mean, some people would say it's expected to not just assume that everything will go the way we want at all times. Right? That's why we see that there are some seasons we experience growth, some seasons we experience maybe what I can call dryness,
scarcity.
Yes, and in some seasons we experience multiplication, which is still growth, if you look at it. And some season we experience, I don't know, it's not my favorite word, but fall. Right? Yeah. So, quite interesting. I'm happy to say, I think the season I have right now is called grinding.
Grinding,
yes.
What's that?
Let me, you know, when it is, I say grinding because there is no way you would be in the grinding season without having resources. Because, I mean, you want to grind pepper. You must have the pepper that you want to grind, right? So I'm in the season where I'm putting to use the resources that I've been blessed with. That's how I would describe it. Do you understand? So I'm finding the best way to put my strength as a woman to use to glorify God. Is put three beautiful children in my care. And I consider that like an invaluable resource. So there's a way that I need to channel them. There's a way that I need to groom them. There's a way that I need to bring them up. You understand? Mm. So yes, that's a resource.
Amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, grinding season.
Grinding.
Putting the resources that I've been blessed with to the optimum use. So mm. that by the time that it is okay to now reap bountifully, you know, I can chill and reap. So right now, I know the Gen Z or whoever we call it, hustling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I call it grinding. Mm. Because I've got resources to grow, to use. I'm building my business to become that empire. Mm. I'm building my family. I'm building my home. So in the grinding season, you sort of isolate yourself a lot because
there's so much
you have a lot
behind
to do.
I think I would rather go with grinding than hustling. Because I feel like grinding has some sort of direction.
Yes.
Hustling can just be trying this and trying that and
putting your hands on different things. And trying what works.
But with grinding, you know, you've identified that there are resources that God has given me, and there are ways God wants me to utilize these resources now.
Yes.
Your children will not be 1 year old forever.
Exactly.
Do you understand?
Exactly.
So you can, and like it's very time sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that you have to do now. Some other things can wait for later. Wow, thank you so much. That's a very beautiful word.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk briefly about mental health.
Mm.
Because this season, this episode, we're going to be talking about motherhood, mental health. In recent times, there's been more conversation about mental health. But can you share from your personal experience what your mental health journey has been like?
Okay. I mean, having mental health conversation sounds like a love-hate relationship. Sometimes I'm super excited to share it.
Mm-hmm.
At other times, I find it very, very sensitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it is important to start by simplifying
what
mental health is, right? So, when I look at the word mental health, I want to really put it in these simple terms. It is just the state of your mind. And if you want to liken it to something that gives you more context, because it relates to the exact way of life or how we want to deliberately see things, look at physical health. What's physical health? The health of your body?
Health of your body.
Yes. Why then do you think there's no such a thing as health of the mind?
Hmm.
Do you understand?
Hmm.
So, in as much as we are deliberate about taking care of ourselves when we fall ill, when we are down with flu, malaria, typhoid, different things, we set everything. So I cited an example. It's very interesting to have this conversation because I remember vividly that there was a time that I was speaking to, I think my husband, about how we need to be intentional about taking care of our mental health. I started a very interesting example that, let's assume you broke a leg, right? You know, it wouldn't matter whether you've set an appointment to hang out with your friends tomorrow, whether you have this work presentation, whether you have, no matter how important any other thing is, what is priority at that very moment is getting rushed to see a doctor to fix up that leg. When the doctor fixes up the leg, it doesn't even end there. The doctor will now tell you, okay, so POP has been put on this leg, this has been done, you take these pills, you rest for this so number of days, and then you can go about your activities. That's the logical thing.
Yes.
That's a sensible thing to do.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So let's assume there's now somebody, you broke a leg and then you just felt, I have this to do. And then you go about doing all those things, which might not even be possible. But let's assume in some cases the person is strong enough to just try and do that. You know, it is very possible to get that leg to a state that is so bad that it is almost impossible to even redeem the leg again and to be broken forever.
Yeah.
That is how I see some people treat their mental health. Because you do not think that this is enough reason to take a break, to get checked, to get help? Do you think it is okay to just continue? Continue to just go by your day? And it gets so bad that we now start hearing this bad news up and down, right? So only if we will take that much needed break when we think we're doing too much, or when we think this, I'm not sure that I can go on. Take that break. The world does not rest on your shoulders. It rests on God's shoulders. That's not your business. Do you understand? So, and that is not to invalidate the fact that some people are genuinely going through what might not look like something they can help themselves out of. I say this because there are different, there are several categories of mental health. Mental health challenges. Right? So I'm going to start by just scraping over the very popular ones that we know. You know, there's anxiety, there's panic attacks, there's a personality disorder, there is ADHD, that is what they call the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Like, do you understand? Like, most people experience it. You'll be surprised that people think it only affects kids, but it can happen to anybody of different age. There's PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder. There is depression, there's bipolar disorder, there is eating disorder, there is OCD. You know that?
Yes.
Obsessive compulsive disorder. There is ASD, autism spectrum disorder. There is psychosis. I mean, the list goes on. So unlike panic attacks, anxiety, some things that you can sometimes maybe help yourself out of, there are some that it is impossible to do alone. So I recognize this and I know. It is also important to look at it this way. If you want to have physical health, what's the logical thing to do?
If you want to have physical health,
yes.
Take care of...
Eat well,
exercise, drink water.
Exactly. So I put it in two categories. Expression for your emotion and then exertion for the physical. So for sound physical health, you need to find exertion. That is when you eat well and you exercise. For sound mental health, I would say expression. Say something. That's the only way. Consume. Okay, so for physical, if I want to be healthy, I'll consume good food. If I want to be healthy physically, I eat good food. If I want to be healthy mentally, I consume good content. Do you understand? So now, sometimes you can't help the kind of content that you consume, but a lot of times you can help it. I mean, you consume in the sense that some people can say so. You can't control what comes out of other people's mouth to you, but you can control how you process it, what you make out of it, how you receive it, right? So that is why I mentioned that you need to watch the information that you're consuming and everything. Most of the times I see that a huge contributor to mental health that falls under the category of anxiety and panic attacks and whatnot is that people focus a lot more on what is not even their business. Why did I say this? There's a lot of competition and comparison that happens, especially on social media these days, that a 25-year-old is already expecting to be certain way, to have achieved certain things, because another 22 or 25-year-old in another community or in another country is already doing this thing. So it is more like trying to put our nose in what does not concern us. You have your time, you have your season. What are you doing to even think you deserve those things in the first place? So that's what I've got to say.
That's so profound. So at what point did you realize that in your mental health journey, at what point you realized, just like you stated, physically, if you're physically ill, you realize, I need to go to the hospital. So in your mental health journey, at what point do you realize, okay, I need to take a break, I need to get help?
Okay, so...
And what helped you to realize that?
I love that you asked this because... everything that I discussed prior to this question, I didn't know just like that. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, like, I had to experience it, I had to be there to know that, okay, why must it be this way? Jonathan, okay, so I think it started happening in 2019. My favorite uncle got ill. I mean, it was so bad that he was on the sick bed for over 3 months. I was so devastated. I was sad. I want to believe that I'm building a relationship with God, but I have not been that church girl that would go to church. But because my uncle was ill, I would go for vigil and I would pray from morning till night. I would cry. I would. Do you understand? But he died, right? When he died, it was more like a part of me vanished. I mean, you wouldn't understand because time wouldn't even permit to express how I got to grow so fond of my uncle. And then he died just like that. Now, my uncle was my daddy's younger brother. Okay, so it didn't affect just me like that. My uncle died, and the moment my mom heard, she slumped and she had a stroke, just like that. She suffered a stroke just because my uncle died, my daddy's younger brother. Okay. As if that wasn't enough, there was no time to even like properly mourn my uncle. We had to, so my mom lived in Oyo. So imagine having to go rush down from Lagos, still mourning my uncle, rush out to a teaching hospital, find out what. Okay, we thank God that one of our friends were there, so the first aid was like administered, so it didn't really go bad, but a part of our body was still almost already gone. So we had so many trips. We had weekly trips to Gomosho Teaching Hospital, back and forth for 3 months, another 3 months, just in 2019. Thank God, of course, she started getting better. She came to Lagos with me and just stayed with me to just finally get better. There was no time to really, really mourn my uncle. So we had gone from him being ill on the sickbed for 3 months, him dying, my mom suffering this, hospital trips again, my mom being in my house. I have to sort of be there, do you understand? Like, take proper care of her. So there was no time to sit, cry. Well, I mean, I would cry maybe when I go to the bathroom, when I'm in the kitchen, but I didn't get that opportunity to like really express what I felt, you know. My mom got better, went back home, right? And then in the early part of 2020, because this happened for almost the whole of 2019, Johnson.
Yeah.
And the early part of 2020, my dad fell ill. And he passed on as well. Okay. You know, the worst part of it was that when he was ill, I went home to be with him for, I think, about a week. And he told me he was fine. He was discharged from the hospital. I should go back to Lagos. Right. I went back to Lagos. Just immediately I got back to Lagos. You know, COVID had been happening.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Just immediately I got back to Lagos, the governor declared the lockdown. And then the day he declared the lockdown, the following day I got the news my dad passed, and I couldn't even go home. I wasn't there. I couldn't see how he was buried. I couldn't him. I couldn't. So the last conversation I had with my dad was this, like, my baby, don't worry, just go, I'm fine, when you get to Lagos, call me. That was the last thing. And I was just called that he died. Now look at the fact that I had not like properly mourned my uncle, my mom, was still taking care of my mom, and then my dad. And it
Wow.
You know what I resorted to? I became a blackout drinker. It was so bad that for a while even my husband didn't notice, because I would buy wine, rum, vodka, snuck it into some part of my kitchen, drink when everybody's asleep. I was drinking not with the intention to just drink. and forget it. I was drinking with the intention to not stop until the bottle was empty. I would drink and I would pass out. And that was the only way I could sleep for months. I'm not sure I took a record of when it started and when I eventually come to the realization that I need to sober up. Right? It happened that way. I mean, a few of my friends would just make just something that, the wine thing and everything. But they didn't really understand the depths of my relationship with alcohol. It was so bad. And then I would look back and think, wait, am I not doing myself more harm than good? Because I know me. I have nurtured my body for so long because I've been trying.
The healthy queen.
I've been trying to conceive and everything. So imagine this happening and I'm doing the complete opposite of what, you know. And then just because of the thoughts that I need to preserve, I need to nurture this body at least for my babies to grow healthily. I think that gave me the strength to start withdrawing from alcohol. So yeah, my sobriety journey started like that. Nobody really knew, so nobody could help me because they didn't know. Like, I did a fantastic job of hiding how heavy I was on alcohol. So right, I had to do that because there's something I'm looking forward to actually let happen. So yeah.
It's interesting that this now links to motherhood, that the thoughts of like understanding what your body has been called to do and honoring that made you to say, okay,
I'm done.
Yeah. Wow. So I'm sure we are still in the process of healing. The question I wanted to ask, that as you went through that season of healing, but I know that healing doesn't just happen.
I think healing is not, it's not a destination. It's a process. It is a process. I say this because it is just like when you are married to somebody, you don't say, because you said I do, I love you the day you met or the day that you exchange rings in front of your families and friends. You don't say, just because I told you that day that I love you, then I can just go 1 year without telling you again. You should already know how I feel about you. No, it doesn't happen like that. It's a process, is a continuum. It's something you wake up every day to choose. I mean, you wake up every day to choose your partner. Okay, so today, yes, I'm choosing you again today. And that is what informs how you treat the person, how you act and everything. So it is a decision that you wake up every morning to say, you know what? What am I using to take my mind away from alcohol today? Do you understand? It was like that. So I would brew tea. I would think, okay, maybe if I make a lemonade, if I put a lot of maybe not sugar, if I put a lot of honey or something to sweeten, maybe it will totally just take my mind off of alcohol if I do this. So it was a constant, it was a daily struggle. So yes, sobriety is not a destination.
It is a journey.
It's a journey.
But what are two lessons that you've learned on this journey of healing?
I would say, number one is gratitude. If we take a moment to acknowledge every day the good things that we experience, the good things that we're exposed to on a daily basis. And you can't do this by just imagining it in your head. So part of my practice now is to dedicate, sometimes some people, because I don't like to write, so there's a part of my phone, you know, when you use an Apple phone, there's notes here. So is to make sure that when I document the sweet experiences that I have on a daily basis, I flesh them out. I do not just write, oh, thank you for waking me up, thank you for provision. No, I state it out. Thank you for waking me up today. Some people have died not because I'm better than them, but because I am worthy. So that I am worthy is written in bold letters.
Yeah.
That I am worthy is written in bold letters.
Yeah.
So that I am worthy is written in bold letters. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it is my practice, and I'm loving it, see me smiling, that I keep a gratitude journal.
Yeah.
I wake up every day and look at my children and I say, thank you for giving me this beautiful. Mm. Just like I write out the sweet adjectives that I want to use. Mm.
Describe.
Just like I wake up to say, oh, thank you for giving me this amazing man because you did this and this today.
Yes. Yes.
Just like, thank you for putting amazing people in my family, because if I do not have Blessing, Marie, Ife as nannies, I would do not be able to attend to this job, this work.
Yes.
So I state those things out, because every day is not Christmas. Mm. There are days where you're just down, and there are days, you know, as human beings, we forget.
Yes.
And there are days when we think, oh God, why me?
Why me?
Why not you though? Mm. Why not you? Like, if you document, you will see that
a thousand
things happen to you every day that sweets your body.
Yes.
So you face a challenge maybe once in 1 year, once in a month, and you're saying, why you?
And you forget all the good.
But you think you're deserving of all those beautiful things. So when these challenges come, and I call them challenges because these things don't even kill you.
Mm.
They either come to teach you a lesson or do something.
Yes,
I advise people to keep a gratitude journal, because when you do this, then you're just thankful.
Mm.
No matter what happens, you're just thankful. That number one is to keep a gratitude journal. Number two is to be intentional about kindness.
Mm.
Right. Kindness is so underrated. You know, a word that you speak into somebody's life could ruin their day, maybe their life, or make their day, or even open their eyes or hearts to a potential in them. So you do not even know. You know the way it is described, as words are super powerful. Yes. I mean, so it is just like you know that words are powerful, and they're like a sword. So it is your decision every day to know how you want to use that sword. Do you want to be so heartless that you pick the sword and slay somebody? So practice of empathy is super important. So
gratitude and kindness. Okay. All right, so motherhood. People don't really share the depth of how that can
affect
somebody mentally, physically, financially.
Mm.
So how has that been for you?
Omo. Let me stretch.
They didn't tell us. They didn't give us
We were not informed.
Lord.
Oh my God. We were not informed. I mean, to say this word is complex is an understatement. Like, complex is not the word, right? I think to be fair, there's no adjective to describe it, you know, because you know, just like women are different, I think motherhood is different for everybody. So I think motherhood is super different for everybody. And going back to kindness, I would say it would be unfair to complicate people's matters by dictating how they should be as mothers. That being said, mental health and motherhood is like thunderous rain. Lord, you know, like it is like bringing, and this is not to say, you know, it will be surprising that this is like the most beautiful experience in women's lives.
Yes.
And I think for this reason is why society, even sometimes our partners, do not see whatever you're going through. Because they think you're happy.
You're supposed to be happy.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Omo, it's not like that. In the journey of mental health challenges coupled with motherhood is, you know, it's interesting when society just think, oh, mental health challenges come to mothers when after having the babies, and that is why the term postpartum depression comes. You know, let me put it to you. Nah, for some people it starts from conception.
Honestly.
Because we at this very stage, women are just coming to the realization that it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we process things differently. We have, you know, just like your health, physical immunity.
Mm-hmm.
People's mental immunity differs in strength.
Yes.
So some people are able to just process, I'm going to be mom.
And go with it.
Some of us are very deep.
Hmm.
Some of us are very intentional about how we process thoughts. Some of us are overthinkers.
Yes.
Some of us are overanalyzers.
Hmm.
Some of us will figure, so did I be a good mother?
Hmm.
How am I, am I ready to even be introduced to this new body? A body I have never met.
Hmm.
Do I think my partner will see me the same?
Hmm.
Do I think my social life will suffer?
Hmm.
Do I think my job or my business will suffer?
Hmm.
Do I think I will love me
when
I look in the mirror? Do I think my children or my child will be healthy?
Hmm.
Do I think...
There are so many ifs.
I don't know. It can go on and on. So there is that. Not because you just decide to choose to have all those thoughts,
mm-hmm.
but because even your hormones are not helping.
Wild.
Do you understand?
When you said the thunderous storms and
because even your hormones are not helping.
Hell.
You know, you can for all that. Like for all that ease, you can decide, well, I'm going to eat healthy so that I'm going to maintain the shape. I'm going to exercise the mild exercise, but it does not help my sister. You can do all that. Fine. You don't be surprised. I'm not saying this doesn't work for some people, but people are different.
Yeah.
You need to be kind enough to understand that some people have high risk pregnancies.
Yes.
And for the most part of those periods,
they are
sick and they are in bed. And they can't even move to say, they can't make their choices.
This is even before conception.
Do you understand?
Before the child is born.
Yes.
Then when the child now comes.
When the child comes. I think we will need about 17 days, 21 hours. And 53 seconds.
Oh God.
to unpack this.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
But is there something during this your motherhood journey? Is there something that you have been doing to just stay grounded? Like you said, gratitude. I'm sure that one has been also very helpful.
Yeah, super.
Well, is there one thing that has been helping you to just stay grounded every day? Yes, this mother would want to kill somebody.
Mm.
But every morning you wake up and you choose again to go.
Yeah. So I think it is, we've not even discussed how, so practically we've discussed how this psychologically and emotionally affects.
We've not said financially.
We've not even talked about the financial part because, if you consider that the millennials or the young parents, most especially, will be young, just like I said. So you do not expect that they are so financially liberated to be able to afford everything that they imagined would be good to have for their child. You understand? So that is another department where the stress hormones is doing brekete as landlords.
Sunny on you.
She tries that. So, yeah, there's that. I really, like, do not want to even dwell a lot in that department. So, I'm going to say, to answer what you just asked about, what has been making me think about this whole journey is that there's such a thing as I cannot come and kill myself.
And died.
There's such a thing as I cannot come and kill myself because, you know, like, I look and sound unserious when I say these things, but it is true.
Yeah.
It is sad that some people do this journey on their own because they are single moms. Yeah. And
shout out to you are the MVP. God is your strength. God because wants you to show up for you.
It is almost impossible to imagine that this can be done alone. You know, it is almost impossible to imagine that. So, thinking of how I cannot give myself type of girl, I'm thankful that I have a super supportive partner, and God has blessed me with people from my husband's hometown in Togo to in form of nannies, right? Because we had to go to see your brother.
We need help.
You know?
Send help, please.
You know. So, my usual wake up time is 9 a.m. Nobody drives that. Yeah, I mean, when you wake up at night, I will pray, shower, brush, do things, and by the time I'm getting downstairs, it's 10 a.m. Right? And so at this time, my husband would have woken up, joined the nannies, they would bathe the kids, dress them up, and feed them. So, because sometimes when I wake up and when I wake up, the first thing is I grab my phone and I look at the camera, and I see them either getting dressed or eating most times, or even already done eating. Because sometimes the way I sleep is the way my babies sleep. They sleep, so mostly they go to bed around 9 p.m. And I've been so lucky because they started sleeping uninterrupted till morning. I think I mentioned it to you one time like that. Since 3 months.
It's a lie.
I promise you. Up
three of them.
Yes, three of them. From 3 months. That was in December. I remember the clock 3 months. You know, when we had them, my husband and I would sleep in the nursery because we wanted to take care of them, the feeding and everything in the middle of the night. But I just suddenly noticed that there was a night that we woke up, my husband and I, we ended up just gisting till morning because we were waiting for any of them to wake up. We were so scared of going back to bed because we thought, oh, now we'll sleep and they'll be waking up to us. Do you understand? And I just noticed that for like complete 3-4 days, we were just waking up and gisting, and they stopped waking up to eat in the middle of the night. Since December, they were 3 months in December. Up until this moment, there is no reason to, like, if their sleep is interrupted, it's because maybe they need a change of diaper because they don't like dirt, or maybe their dummy, the pacifier, falls off, especially for my Kira, the boy. You know, so they sleep from that moment till morning. And their usual wake up time is 7:38. So imagine them waking up at 8. The first thing, I have a ritual, I tell the nannies, the first thing when you wake up is they give them warm water. So they take warm water, they let them play around for another 15 minutes. That time they have emptied their bowel, and then they can now shower and all. So it takes time, and that is what gives me the time to sleep till night as well. Because I noticed that if I do not take care of myself, then there is no way that I will be there to take care of them. You understand? So, and the time that I can do that is during the early hours of the day. Because then, once I wake up, get dressed, ready to start my day fully at 10 o'clock,
you'll be on your feet
till night. You know, except of course they decide to take a nap in the middle of the day.
Amen.
which is not guaranteed.
Honestly, it's not guaranteed. So from all you've said, a good support system
is super important.
A good support system has helped you.
Yeah.
Wow. Alright, so as we wrap up, on a scale of 1 to 10, how healthy would you say your mental health is right now?
She will not be looking at like maybe 4.
Is your sincerity for me?
Because I mean yeah.
You do usually take a plunge down and go up.
Maybe sometimes I think the highest we have gone is like maybe a 6. Because I don't know, he is almost like this. I don't want to use the negative word right now. I don't want to use the C word to say, this is... But I think it gets worse, especially with babies. Now you're constantly in the worry zone.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I cannot imagine even putting on the fan, because you'd be like, what if they dusted their finger in the fan?
And now they're like, moving around.
So, like, my body is on a constant stage of just producing
excess adrenaline.
Do you understand? Like, I'm in that state almost all the time. Like, I'm worried at all times. So I can't say it's getting better.
And I think that it's just a season. You know that as they grow and they are more, dependent, or you can communicate better with them.
Yeah. I think it gets better at that time, and then it gets worse. You know why? I remember my mother-in-law telling me that, and then it got to a time when I think at the adolescent age, when they are now thinking that they are old enough to do some things, and you just go out and you're expecting them. And I think that is when the real deal starts, because then the blood pressure is constantly on the rise.
So the thing is that they didn't tell us that motherhood is divided into different seasons.
I mean, it's almost like once you enter it, you never come out.
Yes.
Have you not noticed?
Yeah.
You never come out. Because no matter how old your child is,
you're still a child to the mother, and you are still worried when they go out and they're not back by 10 p.m.
I promise you. And that being said, I recognize every day that even though some people consider that once you become a mom, you lose your identity, I recognize every day that with a child, and in my case, with three
gorgeous children,
do you understand? My life is rich. I'm richer than the fear of losing my own identity. I am more than me because I'm a mother. So that in itself sometimes even makes everything that I go through, the stress, the worry, the anxiety, the panic attacks, it makes everything almost look very insignificant. It makes it worth it. Just like, I would still, if I had the choice to pick the me without them and with stress-free life, or pick me full of anxiety, panic attacks, stress,
and them in it,
I would choose the latter.
Yes.
Wow. I'll choose the latter. Wow. Any day, anytime.
Wow. Whew, that was such an inciting conversation. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
I hope so too.
There is going to be a template attached to this episode. It's called Experiencing God in Motherhood. And I would share a link to download it. Download it if you are a mom. If you know a mom, make sure you share this episode with them. I mean, Oyi has dropped so much nuggets that I'm sure all of us can relate to. I'm sure every mom here is saying, yes, preach, sister, preach. All right, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.